com.
It's Carl and Linda Bott, and we just wanted to let you know about Omaha Steaks holiday gift packages. You simply can't go wrong with Omaha Steaks.
Shop now for gourmet gift packages guaranteed to fit your list and budget. Cherish more time with your loved ones thanks to the one-stop shopping, no prep, and oven-ready dinners all from Omaha Steaks.
We have tried them and we're delighted to see how easy they were to prepare and how delicious they are.
Start your holiday shopping now at omahasteaks.com. Happy holidays from our family here at KCNR 1460 AM. We're celebrating our 8th year on the air. We'd like to thank our holiday sponsors, the Original Clydes, located at 1250 Hartnell, the only full-service and sales store for television, satellite, and home electronics in Reading, and Zoe's Travel Store in the Mount Shasta Mall, from city streets to country gravel. Your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. Zoe's provides all your travel needs 7 days a week. From the KCNR family and sponsors, happy holidays.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning out there for the state of Jefferson as we creep ever closer to the holidays. And sitting in the studio with a good friend and co-host Wynn Carpenter, and we were sitting there talking, and I'm feeling like people are festive for the first time in a while. You know, they're in a good mood, and we had the opportunity for the Reading Christmas Light Parade last night, which Wynn was in with the state of Jefferson. And how'd that go, Wynn?
It went really well. Very well.
Good.
There's what a huge crowd out there.
There was. I was out there in a crowd with the kids and watching it, and it seemed like it was a little bit bigger parade than it usually is.
Yeah,
and
that's my understanding, according to the organizers.
Well, I did kind of a quick head count where I was down at one of the intersections, and for about the two blocks I could see both sides of the street, I figured 2,500 to 3,000 people just in that one little stretch of the parade. Yeah. I mean, they were five or six deep in some places.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got a chance to wander around, talk. I was out in my Jefferson gear and talking to people in the crowd. And, you know, people were very supportive and, you know, just they were festive and cheerful. You know, there was a lot of real politeness and excuse me and, you know, happy holidays. Hey, you guys want something to drink and, you know, a lot of food. It was a good time. And, you know, it's one of those things that gets to me. That's one of the things that we're fighting for in Jefferson is, you know, even in a bigger city like Reading, we've still got that community kind of rural atmosphere here in town.
Yeah.
And it was a great thing. And those are the kind of things that, you know, we want to see preserved and saved.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
yeah, it was fun to watch, you know, people last night just interacting, you know, when getting the floats or your display ready and stuff. It was fun to watch people because where we were number 99, and there were at least 11 behind us. So I don't know whether, you know, if that was the end or whatever, but I'm assuming probably 110, 105, 10, something like that. Anyway, exhibits going through or floats, what have you, and entries, that's it. And anyway, people were helping each other out because, you know, you all have lights and people are having some issues. Hey, do you have extra or something or other? Oh, yeah, you got the same one. Yeah, no problem. Here you go. You know, because we shared and we saw other people sharing with stuff. And then we had some great people come by and just, you know, stop and talk to us as we were building. And the group of us that were all building it together, putting it together, each one of us had somebody come up and we just had dialogue with them. And we were parked out in front of this older gentleman's home and he came out and he's, poor old guy, he comes out there with his walker, you know, he's walking out there and I thought he was going to cross the street. And he needs some help. Oh no, I just come out to talk to you guys. Okay. So we gave him, and the one time you don't have, you know, your card on you or a flyer on you, right? And so then Margie goes, wait a minute, I've got one in her bag. She runs over, grabs her bag. Yep, she pulls one out. Saved the day. So it was cool. You know, just a nice to have that interaction with him. And he was very supportive of it. And, you know, he said, I'll do whatever I can from afar. But, you know, I support you guys 100%. It was really nice to hear that. And then people walking by making positive comments and whatnot. And then going through the route, the parade route. Oh, my gosh, it was great. You know, people clapping and cheering and yelling and stuff. And you hear dialogue. You hear them, they don't realize that you can hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
Good and bad.
Yeah, good and bad.
And then even some of the announcers, as they're saying, you know, the pre-printed little paragraph that we put together for them. And some of them were pretty animated about it and stuff. And, you know, one of our local weathermen was doing it, and he was very animated about it. And it was about time somebody from, you know, the media said something positive. Even though I wrote it.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting. So, and, you know, I kind of found the same atmosphere in out amongst the crowd and stuff. Is I didn't have one negative comment about Jefferson. I had one guy that had just moved home from the Midwest back up to Trinity County. He goes, "Oh, the state of Jefferson, what's that? I keep seeing it everywhere."
Hmm.
And it's like, you haven't been home for a while, have you?
Well, there was a guy last night that came and talked to us for probably 15 minutes. He's from Humboldt County.
Mm-hmm.
And he came over to visit the kids, and he said, "So when's Humboldt going to get in?" I said, "I don't know. When are you going to do it?"
Yeah.
And he kind of looks at me and goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "That's what it takes. It takes somebody that's willing to step up and make it happen." And he said, "Huh." I said, so we gave him our contact information and everything else. I said, "If you want Humboldt in, you better get on it." So we started talking about it, and he was pretty excited about it. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we've had trouble getting traction in Humboldt. We've had a lot of people interested, a lot of people try to get it going, and Humboldt County really is an animal all of its own.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, you know, Humboldt County is a microcosm of what California has done to the North State.
Oh, absolutely.
Take what used to be one of the most prosperous counties with the number of mills, the healthy fisheries, the different things that they used to have that have all been taken away from them.
Right.
You know, and they have been crippled as a county and as a people from any kind of normal commerce or economic activity up there.
Well, you think, like, they have dairies, or they used mm-hmm. to have dairies. I mean, they had multiple dairies over there. They may be down to one, maybe two.
Yeah, they're down to the
agriculture.
They used to have cheese companies. They used to have the creamery is still going. That's a good fair. If you ever eat Kirkland Costco vanilla ice cream, it came out of Humboldt County.
Oh, there you go.
That's a Humboldt creamery. But, yeah, they had a very healthy agricultural industry, a very healthy ranching industry. You know, all of your Black Angus beef came out of Humboldt County. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have felt, quite honestly, crapped on by the government for so long over there. They're withdrawn. They don't care. They do what they want to do. And it's not a question of them wanting to separate. It's kind of like,
They've already done it.
Yeah, they've already done it. It's trying to get Humboldt to re-engage.
Yeah.
To go, you know what? Okay, we want to take control of this, rather than where they've already kind of charted their own course in the way that they act and they behave. It's a different animal.
Yep.
And I understand their frustration and their the train of thought over there. They're literally to hell with it.
They're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, hopefully you're right. Hopefully they'll get reengaged and be part of what we're trying to do and what we're going to do, get Jefferson and
mm-hmm.
and they'll be actively engaged with it, and that'd be wonderful to have them on board, and Del Norte is getting their committee back together and they're getting things going. So it would be great to have 23 counties versus only 21.
and to be able to help them, you know, restore things like responsible timber harvest,
yep.
restore the fisheries, you know, address the real problems in our fishing stocks and our crab stocks and things like that, the things that are ignored and glossed over so that we can fight over control of the water under the guise of environmental justice.
Right.
It's not the water in the river, folks. It's the problem. You know, there's a lot of problems. The one I keep bringing up is, you want to see what's wrong with our fishing stocks? Get on a tuna boat, go out tuna fishing, and take a look at the line of Japanese factory ships that are sitting off of our coast, raping the fishing stocks.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even go back to Japan to harvest the fish. They drag nets that are 10, 15, 20 miles long on either side of their boats, of these trawlers. They catch everything. They drag it right back to a massive factory ship there that processes the food, cans it, puts it on a cargo ship, and ships it to Japan. They're out there raping our fishing stocks, and we're sitting over here fighting over dams. It doesn't have anything to do with the lack of fish.
Right.
There's things that, as a sovereign state, we can do to protect that and protect our fishing.
Right.
So there's a lot of things and solutions for people in Humboldt County, Del Norte County, that we could absolutely help with. They need their timber back.
Oh, yeah.
They, you know, we sat through meeting with a former sheriff over there, and he explained that they were growing almost a billion board feet more a year in fresh timber than they were harvesting, and that their forests are actually getting to the danger point. And anybody that lives here is real familiar with the danger point in our forests,
yep,
where we're watching our revenue go up in smoke, and it becomes a public hazard instead of a public boon.
Literally going up in smoke.
Yep. Literally, yep, going up in smoke.
Yeah.
Burning people out, burning people's houses down.
Yep.
And instead, that should be jobs, and it should be revenue. So.
And that helps with air quality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about all the things that it affects, you know.
Yeah.
And the water runoff. I mean, you know, the water can't run off and go where it needs to go, trickle down through into the aquifers if it can't even penetrate the ground.
Well, let's talk about water sequestration in overstocked forests.
Mm-hmm.
Trees take a lot of water.
Yes,
they store a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
So you get overstocked forests, you get less water. Less water, you get more tree die-off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could probably spend a generation just going through and clearing out dead timber in our forests to restore them to healthy.
Correct.
Yeah. We're looking at pine beetle infestations.
All that.
And yeah, these are things that the state and the federal government are well aware of. And it has nothing to do with environmental protection or protecting the environment. It's about command and control, mm-hmm, of our economy and the people here, and making them subject to the will of the state because they have no other choice.
That's right.
And that's absolutely one of the things that is going to go by the wayside once Jefferson hits ground running.
Yes, sir.
No, looking forward to it. You know,
daily.
You know, now they're talking about maybe the very real possibility of losing the Sierra Pacific mill in Bernie.
Wonderful.
What does Bernie do?
That's it.
That's it.
PG&E, Sierra Pacific.
Yeah,
what
is there?
Yeah,
you know,
not a whole lot.
What about the biomass plant?
And it doesn't just affect Bernie; it affects Fall River and MacArthur, Glenburn, Dana,
mm-hmm,
Little Valley, Pittville, because there are people from those areas that work at those mills,
yeah,
or at that mill.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I know Shasta Green, who used to be a big going affair up there with their timber, they're down to a shift. You know, we're still withering on the vine up here. Ladies and gentlemen,
they can hold on.
We have.
I just pray that they hold on, you know, as long
as, yeah, just a little bit longer, guys. We're getting there.
We're working hard so we can make it happen.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one of the things that we have to hit first is the economy. We've, mm-hmm, got to get the jobs back.
Absolutely.
And a lot of it is just, let's flat get to work.
Yeah.
So with that, we're probably going to get off to our first break here. And we got a lot to bring in because California never rests, and they're up to more goodies that we'll be talking about here.
Yep.
Yeah.
You'll have eternal.
So we will see you on the other side of the break. You guys got any questions or comments, you can get us here at 530-605-4567. We'll see you on the other side.
California was never supposed to be just one state. Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, New Time, Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon.
Jake Shimabukuro is returning to Redding's Cascade Theater. He's the ukulele wizard that Rolling Stone has declared a musical hero. He's fun, innovative, and amazing in concert. Don't miss Hawaiian ukulele master Jake Shimabukuro in concert December 11th at the Cascade. Tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
The goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos. Every week, Boomer Tech Radio talks about the innovations and the developments in technology that are impacting your life. Hi, it's Bob Belongi, and for the past 6 years, Brenda and I have brought you the tech news you can really use. Sponsored by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. It's analog living in a digital world on Boomer Tech Radio, heard noon to two Saturdays or streaming anytime on KCNR 1460.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Well, we're moving on. To get up that hill. Now we're up in the big leagues. Get our turn at bat. As long as we live, it's you and me, baby. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah, we're moving on up. Moving on up to the east side. To a deluxe apartment in the sky. We're moving on up. Moving on up to the east side. We finally got up.
And part of getting that piece of the pie back is absolutely restoring the economy here. One of the things that we've talked about is, the vision of a deep water port in Eureka.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the undeveloped and untapped potentials of the state of Jefferson. And
right.
One of the reasons that we would like to see Humboldt County in. And, you know, news for Humboldt County and several of the counties here, there's a port going into Humboldt, whether you like it or not, because the people behind it right now don't care what you think. They don't care how they do it. And there's an organization that's called landbridgealliance.org. You can go there and look at their plan for the railroad and the port expansion, the list of people that are behind this thing. And I just heard from some old friends in Trinity County that got caught wind of they're looking at putting a railroad spur right through Trinity County, one of them actually going through a wilderness area in a natural area called Natural Bridge. They want to literally put the railroad right through that area and up over Chantsalula Mountain and down into the valley. And that would be good. That would be a boon. But it needs to be done in a way where there's input from the community and not the normal California input where, okay, well, we're going to build a railroad in Trinity County, so we're going to hold the meeting about it down in Los Angeles where nobody can go to have any discussion about it or have anything to say. And then we're just going to sit there and smile and nod at you and then do what we want anyways.
Right.
You know, something like that, a project like that absolutely needs the input of the people that live there.
And pay taxes there.
Yeah. And done in such a way that's conducive to the people there. And it needs to be the people in those counties that are building that railroad.
Right.
It needs to be the people of those counties that are, you know, the engineers on the railroad that are loading and unloading the stocks that are working at the port. And, you know, a lot of the people in Humboldt County a port would be a huge economic boon, but it's got to be done in a way that's conducive to their lifestyle and the way that they want to live. You don't want to, they don't want an explosion of urban sprawl and just, you know, they don't want to pollute their bay. They don't want to, you know, because there are traditional economic drivers there for Humboldt County, the oyster beds. A lot of the oysters that are sold on the West Coast come right out of the Arcata mudflats, you know. So you are going to be able to make those arguments, make those things, and work together with your government to create things like that in the state of Jefferson, where in the current system of California and the federal government, they're just going to run over you.
Right.
They're going to do what they want, and the people that live there be damned.
Yep, and you're just part of the casualty.
Yeah. So Jimmy is asking, who is they, Red? I'm not sure which they you're referring to, Jimmy. Are you talking about the railroad? If you can get me in the chat room and let me know, because the people behind the railroad is you can go to landbridgealliance.org and look at the list of supporters, and there's about 2 pages worth of different organizations and individuals that are behind it. So if you want to get a look at that, I don't have the list in front of me. I don't have my computer in front of me to get a hold of it, but that's landbridgealliance.org. You'll find the maps for the railroads. They actually want to create a northern spur, a southern spur, and then 2 spurs that come out from the coast, one that would drop down towards Ukiah and then cut across the Mendocino Wilderness into the valley. That would be an exclusive west-to-east spur. And then they would have another one that they want to cut in through Trinity County and down over in towards Shasta County that would be a west-to-east spur. They're actually envisioning enough rail traffic to need to be able to do that, where they have one-way traffic going through. And part of that ties into the old pulp mill in Humboldt County. For those of you that have lived in the area or know Humboldt County, there's used to be an old pulp mill out there on the spit that was purchased several years ago by a Chinese company. They operated the pulp mill for another couple, 3 years. Then they packed it up and moved it right on to China. So now we're paying to buy our own timber and paperback that's been manufactured out of an American plant from the Chinese. The other great thing is they now want to use that site to build a LNG plant. They want liquid natural gas there so that they can start loading up these super tankers of natural gas and sending it to China. Part of the crappy thing about that is because the pulp mill was rapidly found to be a polluted area and listed as a super site by the EPA. So the American taxpayers paid to clean that site up, which wasn't dirty to begin with, but they basically paid to grade the land, bulldoze the land, redo the foundations and everything in preparation for the Chinese government to build this LNG plant. And that's where you're going to be getting your huge amount of rail traffic is going to be natural gas from fracking and things like that coming out of the Midwest, heading into the port of Eureka to load up on natural gas tankers headed right to China. We envision that the use of the port in a lot of different ways other than that. And that's what you're looking at, is this kind of cabal of folks and different organizations. We don't really necessarily want it to be a government-run program. We'd love to see private industry behind it. We'd like to see good-paying jobs. We'd like to see for the people that live there.
Absolutely.
So
yeah,
that's part of what's going on. We started talking about that, almost 3 years ago. And, you know, as it's building up and ramping up and other people are starting to become aware of it, they're looking around going, wait a minute, maybe this isn't how we want this done. And we've seen how the answers are with everything up here. Okay, let's discuss the timber industry and how we can harvest timber responsibly, sustainably. Okay, yeah, we're the state of California. Let's have a meeting in Sacramento. Let's have a meeting in Carmel. You know, let's have a meeting down in Orange County.
Where all the trees are?
Yeah, where all the trees are and all the people that live there.
Yeah.
Oh, and, you know, by the way, we're not going to listen to anything you say and shut down your forests anyways.
Right.
We don't want to see the port go a similar way. We want people to be able to live where they live and be accepting of the port, of it done in a way that's conducive, again, to their lifestyle and the way that they want to live. There can be a balance between conservation and economy.
Well, they can have skin in the game like everything else. You know, you step up, you get involved, you do everything that you can with it, and make it work for your community. Okay, we have a caller on the phone. Howard, good morning, Howard.
Yes?
Good morning.
Good morning.
What you got going, Howard?
Is this Wynn?
This is Wynn. You're on air.
Oh, I wasn't sure I was on.
Yep, you're on air.
Just a couple comments. I've been listening this morning, and it's always informative what you gentlemen have on. I spent and lived in 6 years over at in Arcata, and a couple things I noticed: an influence of the Bay Area come into that area, and it would be nice if Humboldt would come on board. But there's also that Humboldt State University where I went to, which is quite a liberal bastion. So Arcata, the city of Arcata, really went off the deep end when they elected a lot of city fathers, you might say, who weren't fathers. They were liberal area, Bay Area people. That's one comment I had. The other comment is in regards to Buckhorn Summit and that whole road development. I'm not sure you were aware of the fact that a lot of money came out of Humboldt County to help develop that road.
Absolutely.
They put in a lot of money on that, and that's part of the idea of getting a much faster route between the deep water port that they're going to put in and getting stuff over into the I-5 corridor where they can ship it north and south up and down I-5. And I know that for a fact because my son works for Caltrans as an engineer, and he was telling me those kinds of things of where a lot of the money was coming from. So those are my comments, and I appreciate the job you guys are doing.
Well, thank you, Howard. And, yeah, the 299, the Buckhorn grade redevelopment, is all about being able to get full-size tractor-trailer combinations in there, because right now you're limited on the size of trailer that can make it up the grade and down through some of those curves and stuff that they're taking out. And that's been a multi-year, multi-million dollar project that is about opening up 299 as a truck route to help expedite traffic into and out of the port that's coming.
There you go.
Right, and a lot of money came out of Humboldt County for that road development over the summit here.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
See, we've got brilliant people out there listening and willing to share. Thank you, Howard.
We do.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you, Howard. With that, we've got Mark Beard on the phone.
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Good. You?
Good. Hey, I was calling in because I saw in the chat room JJ asked a question that was kind of important, and that was that will electing Trump expedite the state of Jefferson, and I wonder when it'll actually happen, and is this something that my daughter, although not myself, will live to see the switch? And that's a multifaceted question, so it's kind of a multifaceted answer, but the reason the election of Donald Trump will help the state of Jefferson is because of the Supreme Court. And we've come to an age, although not through constitutional processes, that the Supreme Court rules the United States of America, and they do that by judicial fiat. They alter the Constitution with judicial opinions, and although they're not empowered by the Constitution to make constitutional amendments, they do that constantly with judicial opinions, and which the states then follow. So the answer to that is Donald Trump has helped us immensely, and we should all thank God for his election, because he will be in a position to appoint a 9th Supreme Court justice. And you can bet the enemy is going to try to stop that. In fact, there's already a move afoot in the Democrats' Senate that to limit the number of Supreme Court justices to 8. Now, that will fail because they don't have the required number of votes to push their agenda, and they know it, but they're going to raise that argument anyway. So once that 9th Supreme Court justice is put in place,
then our lawsuit will have a much greater chance of success, and we will end up in the Supreme Court. It's almost a sure thing, because if we win in the federal court for the Eastern District, California will appeal, and if we lose, we will appeal. So no matter what happens in federal court the early part of next year, we will end up in the United States Supreme Court, and that ninth justice could be the determining factor, and probably will be the determining factor in our victory. And then the other answer is, will I live to see this? I'm 64 years old, and I'm praying that I live to see it. I hope you live to see it, too. I hope that everybody that's actually doing the work, because, by the way, folks, this is actual work required of all of us if we want to see the state of Jefferson. I hope I live to see it. I fully intend to live to see it. And by default, I hope JJ's daughter lives to see it and her children after that. But we've got to stop talking, and we've got to start doing. We need to start showing up. We need to start calling the legislature, demanding liberty again and again and again and again. And as tiresome as it is, folks, you can't stop fighting. We have to fight this fight, or we won't win the fight. If we're not there, we're not going to win. Another thing we need to do is we need to start sending money to SOJ51.net or directly to the 501c4. We still need to fund this lawsuit. Lawsuits are expensive. Ours is no different than anyone else's. It's going to be expensive. It's going to be time-consuming. It's going to be labor-intensive. How bad do you want liberty? Do you want it bad enough to show up, or do you want it bad enough for someone else to do the work and you hope to reap the benefit? Because I'll tell you, Avenue number one is the only sure path to success. If we all demand liberty vocally, physically, show up, start telling your elected officials, start electing better officials, start reading things, start informing yourself so that you can change the character of your city council, change the character of your board of supervisors. That's what we need to do. We need to win this from the bottom up, and we need to fix our own backyard before we can hope to go to the state and fix that backyard. And once we have educated enough people and taken over enough counties so that we can demand liberty and make it stick, or win that court case and win the settlement afterwards, we don't have a hope of achieving liberty. And now is our time. It's not politically going to ever be any better for us than it is right now. It's time to strike. We have the court case. We have the grounds. The complaint is finished. I'm reviewing the amended complaint. I have to finish that tonight so I can get it back to the attorneys. We're getting very close. So I'll tell you what, folks, let's wake up, let's stand up, and let's mean it this time. If we want to win liberty, it's within our grasp, but we have to act now. Thanks, guys.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Mark.
The time has come for 51.
Yes, sir. It has. And, you know, at the end of the year, and as we see the seating of our new president, and we see some of the activity abroad in California, and some of the statements out of our elected officials and things, there is a collision of wills coming in California,
mm-hmm.
Between the federal government and the state, between the counties and the state, between the north and the south. There's a collision of wills coming.
Yep.
We'll discuss that a little bit, but we do have to get off to our next break, and we'll see you on the other side of that and discuss what's coming, because we have California talking about actively trying to resist the federal government, trying to resist federal law, ignore the Constitution as they're so good at doing, and there's a fight brewing. Has been for some time.
Yep.
From my Carolina home, had dreams about the West and started to roam. 6 long months on a dust-covered trail. They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell. And there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
Well, When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
Must be Budget Blinds, because only Budget Blinds brings a showroom of great window fashions to your door.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Janet. Love the new designs. Colors and patterns you can't find anywhere else. Brought right to your door. Exclusive product lines for every budget, including Roman shades, rugs, pillows, and so much more, to transform any room from ordinary to extraordinary. Plus, we do all the measuring and installation for you. No more running from store to store or taking your chances online.
Budget Blinds is a home convenience concept. Whenever you call Budget Blinds, you're always going to get a live person on the phone. We'll come out. We'll bring all sorts of different samples. We'll listen to your need. Being a franchise owner of Budget Blind, a big part would be our warranties. Our warranties are unbeatable. With no questions asked, no matter what happens to your window coverings, you're covered in.
So when you hear, think Budget Blinds.
If you're in need of custom window coverings, give Budget Blinds a call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web at budgetblinds.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Happy holidays from our family here at KCNR 1460 AM. We're celebrating our 8th year on the air. We'd like to thank our holiday sponsors, the Original Clydes, located at 1250 Hartnell, the only full-service and sales store for television, satellite, and home electronics in Reading, and Zoe's Travel Store in the Mount Shasta Mall. From city streets to country gravel, your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. Zoe's provides all your travel needs 7 days a week. From the KCNR family and sponsors, happy holidays.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Are you coming to the tree where Dad may go down for his love to flee? Strange things did happen, you know, stranger would it be if we met.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind. When we left off, we were discussing some of the things that are percolating here in the great state of California. And one of those things is the contest of will that is brewing between our state government and our federal government over key issues such as environmentalism, overregulation, refusal to follow federal immigration law. There's going to be a collision over the Second Amendment. A great many things that California has been doing illegally, wrongfully, unconstitutionally are going to come to a head and butt heads with what should be a friendly federal government, a constitutional friendly government. And when you hear about things like CalExit and people in the South, you know, making rumblings about, oh, well, let's withdraw from the union and, you know, we're and they're finding support among people like our governor and our Senate pro tem and elected officials throughout the state. That's very troubling. And you get a lot of people that say, oh, it's just talk. Oh, it's just nonsense. Oh, it's a flash in the pan. Oh, it'll never go anywhere. Well, we here in Jefferson remember hearing those same things ourselves, and we know exactly what we've accomplished and where we've gone.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to hear the whole nonsense of, oh, it'll never happen. Oh, Donald Trump will never get elected. Oh, this will never go anywhere. We tend to be a little leery when we hear things like that because we know firsthand what nonsense that can be. And when these things are finding a home and are taking nest in our own legislature with our own elected leaders, and you start to hear treason and sedition out of them, it is very troubling.
Yes.
You hear mayors and police chiefs and archbishops and these people starting to talk about, oh, we will actively resist and deny the will of the federal government over immigration laws and things like that. That's a fight brewing.
Yep.
You know, when you take us here in the North that have no intention of departing this union, have no intention of being, you know, drugged down the slop chute with Venezuela on the West Coast if California tries to separate.
Right, right.
That's going to be a collision. And if you think as immigration law gets enforced in California and the federal government starts to go after sanctuary cities and things like that, if there's not going to be violence, you're not paying attention. Did you guys watch the Trump rally in San Jose and the things that happened?
Right.
Did you watch the actions of some of these individuals as they went after people? Do you see the reaction of these people continually as things progress? You've got people that are supporting the federal government, supporting our new president, being attacked in the street. There's a collision of wills coming in this state.
Well, the thing is, too, they're using our tax money to do it.
I know.
Which makes me want to throw up. Because that's what they do. They're using our tax money to fight us. So how do you fight that? Especially when you don't have money. I mean, Jefferson is a grassroots movement. We're doing everything by the soles of our shoes and the mm-hmm. coins in our pocket. We're doing it ourselves. We don't have a sugar daddy. We don't have a George Soros, nor do we want, nor would we ever have.
Well, maybe it's time we stop giving them our tax money to do it with.
I'm with you on that.
It's so beyond the point of a disagreement. It is so beyond the point of, you know, we can't sit down at a table and talk about simple things. The state of California has set themselves up as an active opponent mm-hmm. of liberty and freedom and self-determination. They have made themselves an enemy of the people of the state of Jefferson. We haven't done that to them.
No.
We in no means have held – well, we have not looked for a fight or a physical confrontation. We have looked for a discourse, a solution, a sit down and let's figure this out, mm-hmm. Hey, you're killing us up here, you know, and it's fallen on deaf ears.
They hear it. They hear it. Yeah. They know.
Don't care.
They don't care.
They don't care.
That's right. They don't care.
And they've actually are preaching now. They want to double down on the things that they've done to us. They want to take more freedom. They want to close off more. They want to crush more economy. They want to violate more of the Constitution. The Cal exit thing that is absolutely being supported by state legislators,
mm-hmm.
okay, and the governor's office. What their text is to remove from the California Constitution, number one, that California is an inseparable part of the Union, and number two, that the Constitution of America is the supreme law of the land. Those are the two things that they want to rip out of the California Constitution. And that's finding support amongst our elected officials. There's a fight coming.
You're absolutely right. There is a fight coming.
And
yes, sir.
It's at the same time, when do we stop complying? When do we stop funding these people? And what do we do?
Yeah. Well, so, do you know what we do? We support it. This is a little bit of a segue. And one of our callers, Terry, thank you. we need to have funding to do our fight for the court case. And Mark alluded to it earlier. And so what we need to do is we need to have money sent to State of Jefferson Formation or SOJ Formation. And that's what the check needs to read. P.O. Box 751, Palisadro, P-A-L-O, C-E-D-R-O. And the zip code is 96073. Again, P.O. Box 751, Palo Cedro, 96073. Sorry, 96073. And if you don't want to do it that way, don't want to send a check or a money order, then you can also send do it via PayPal account. If you're a techie and you want to do it on a computer and do it that way, go to soj51.net website, and the page pops open, and go to the top right-hand corner. There's a donation button up there, and it'll take you into a PayPal account, and you get yourself enrolled in an account, and then you can do it a one-time deal. You can do it on a regular basis, however you choose to do it. And so we have people doing it both ways, and I've done it both ways just to see how it works, to make sure that what I was talking about was actually working. So that's how I do it. So however you want to do it is okay with us.
For me, I think that I might just take my state tax, my state income tax, property tax, things like that, and donate it to Jefferson instead of donating it to the state of California.
There you go.
Just a thought.
Well, you know, how many of the 21 tax collectors within the territory of Jefferson are going to step up and help out? Would any of them? They're elected officials.
They're elected.
They're elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put some pressure on the tax collectors.
Yeah. We're all just a bunch of ignorant welfare parasites. We don't count that good no how. Going to take us a while. Figure it out. Oh, man. At what point do we stop enabling our own destruction?
Yeah.
And that's really part of the question, because if you can't see the contest that's coming, that's been coming,
right,
in California, you're not paying attention, and it's about to ramp up and it's about to accelerate. And the people on the other side have absolutely no compunction about using force and violence to enforce their way of thinking and their worldview and attempting to establish themselves and what they want to do.
Right.
Well, and as Wynn clearly points out, we're funding it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to start funding the resistance.
Yeah.
Well,
let's fund ourselves instead of someone else.
It's a good idea. Well, with that, we've got our last break, and we will see you on the other side.
It's getting eerie quiet. Won't stay like this for long. Even the crows start flying. They know what's going on. You could tell by the red sky there's something brewing. You had your chance to run and hide. I guess you blew. The clouds are turning gray. Better pray for your saving grace. It's just a little too late.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit soj51.net and donate now to show your support.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. God bless you. Phrases that should be a blessing to anyone. Thanks to political correctness, these statements are now considered offensive, hurtful, and even a hate crime. I have three words in response to this. Get over it. Political correctness is nothing more than an attempt to manipulate you and silence your opinion and worldview. Never let anyone coward you into silence or be afraid to speak what you believe. Jesus always spoke the truth in love, so go and do likewise. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible without compromise, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab, and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Churn world. Serve its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Feed it up and not speak. Grunt, no strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down. High choir and a fire. Representing 7 games in a government for hire and a combat site. Left to west are coming in a hurry with the Furies breathing down your neck. Team by team reporters battle Trump.
And it is. It really is kind of the end of the world. It's, we know it. It's the passing of an era. It's the change of the stage. We can't go back, but we can go forward. And it's up to us to decide where we go from here.
Which way we're going
to
go.
Which way we're going to go. I know which way I'm going to fight like hell to go.
Yes.
And I wanted to point out one thing in the chat room. Rally Sally brought up and said, well, look at the propositions that passed by popular vote, the gun thing, the bag thing. And my question is did they? Did they really pass? Do we know that for sure that they passed? Because you look at the rampant voter fraud that was reported in California. You look at the primary where now that they have the vouch, you know Bernie Sanders defeated Hillary Clinton. You know that there was rampant voter fraud in that. There was rampant voter fraud in many districts. We know for a fact due to Motor Voter that we have numerous invalid individuals and illegal immigrants voting in our elections. My question is did they? Did those propositions really pass?
Maybe that should be done by county. So if Shasta County didn't pass it, Shasta County doesn't have to abide by it.
Maybe. You know, I'm sure Shasta County counted their ballots, right?
Yeah.
Did they down south? Did they verify? Did they qualify? So that's my question is we can't even trust our own ballot process. We can't even trust our own voting process here in California because we know they cheat.
Especially,
they've been caught cheating.
Especially when they count the absentee ballots unless something is close. So yeah. If you do
an
absentee –
Who determines close?
Exactly. They don't do it unless it's close. What, are they just set aside and they're never counted? So that, folks, that is a number one reason to not do absentee.
Mm-hmm.
Number one reason. They're not counted.
Yeah.
We were told directly by the person who runs I just went totally brain dead. The Registrar of Voters Office, sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, they told us directly that they did not count them. It's
yeah,
like,
because they didn't need to.
They didn't have to. It's like, wait a minute. No. My vote counts. No, it doesn't. So make sure. If you're doing absentee ballot, change over to going to the polls and being there with the rest of the Patriots and making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have 2 years, so you can do it. You have time.
Yeah. And, Rally, I would agree with that. I believe that most people here in Jefferson would support the idea of a voter ID, that you need identification to vote.
Well, heck, they have 1 billion people in India, and every person that votes there has to have an ID or they don't get to vote. In India.
Racists. They're just racist.
For the love of God, why can't we do it here in California?
We can. They don't want to because they'd lose elections.
That's right.
Because these BS propositions wouldn't pass.
That's right.
And that's when, you know, they say, oh, look at the will of the people of California and the things they pass. That's not the will of the people of California. They cheat. Anyways, with that, in the last 90 seconds, we've got Nick in Redding.
Good morning, Nick. Are you there? Nick.
Did we lose you, Nick?
Hey, I'm here.
Oh, okay. There you are. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, good morning. I was reading, I believe it was the American Thinker yesterday, and they projected that the return for CalPERS this year is less than 1%. I believe it was 0.61%. And that's going to bump their liability up to not quite $1 trillion. I thought you'd be interested in that.
Actually, Nick, the numbers that we looked at, I know the one that you're talking about, that they hit 1% out of the required 7.25%. But if you base what they did compared to what they lost in value of their actuaries, they actually shrunk by 3/4.
Well, you know, I think if we give them a raise, they'd try harder. You know, I
are you running for city council, Nick?
Hey, that's a thought.
There you go.
It is a thought.
Yesterday, I Googled North Dakota Pipeline, and I got on a YouTube, and then it led from one to another to another. And I am absolutely ashamed of our law enforcement agencies, the way they were using water cannons to spray those Indians at nighttime, sub-zero temperatures.
Yes.
They were shooting fire bombs into them and tear gas, and they had fire extinguisher sizes of mace, spraying them right in the face. Do you remember when down in UC Davis they were macing those kids that were protesting, shooting them right in the face with that?
Yep.
And then over on the coast at UC or Arcata.
We're going to lose you.
We're going to lose you, Nick.
I'm sorry. I miss you guys. Have a great day.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we'll give us a call back on Sovereign Minds. We can get into that and some of the things that are going on up there in the Dakota Pipeline. Until then, keep the sunny side up, Jefferson.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Days of mourning that began here when he died last week at 90. Sagar Meghani, Havana.
Officials say an investigation has been in place for weeks into that warehouse that burned Friday night in Oakland, California, during an electronic music party, killing at least 24 people. Investigators were looking into whether people were living there illegally. Alameda County